I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique handbag brand, Andy, and this is why I switched to Shopify. I tried three other platforms prior to Shopify, and I remember my breaking point was when I would try to make one little change and my entire site would go down. Shopify made it really easy for me to shift everything over and hit the ground running. I was able to migrate my products and all of my customer information over.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Go to shopify.com/listen to take your business to the next level today.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Merilee Ossiney. Merilee is president CEO of Core Cubed. She's considered a thought leader in the in-home care industry and is involved in numerous organizations, providing insight and advice. Ossiney is a leader in the Help Choose Home initiative and podcast creator and host, in which she focuses on educating how and when to choose healthcare at home. Merilee won a Lifetime Achievement in Business Award at the 2017 Stevie Award for Women in Business. Merilee's business ownership began with a geriatric care-managed in-home care agency, a venture that garnered her the prestigious Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award back in 1996. She's the past chair of the Private Duty Home Care Association of America and has served on the board of the National Association for Home Care and Hospice and the National Association of Geriatric Care Managers, now called Aging Life Care Professionals. Merilee, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you today.
It's an honor. And you have been in this industry for a while. And
multi-generations.
You're tons and tons of generation. And now you're 73 and you are finding a way to continue to add value, continue to be prominent in this industry. Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about your journey here.
Well, the providing care in the home is something that I sort of stumbled into in my first business, which has now been over 40 years ago. And I have really been a fan of providing care in the least restrictive setting and in a place where people are most comfortable. So it's a lifelong passion to actually educate people about how to live a full life, as full as you can, when frailty sets in or when care is needed.
Now, you're 73 years old. You don't sound it. And you were telling me about where you live and the opportunity to go kayaking, and you're still very active.
Yes. That's a key, I think, to longevity, as long as you're active, you know?
Yeah. And be able to maintain it and keep staying curious, right?
Yes, definitely.
And always learning. So tell us about the podcast, Help Choose Home.
Help Choose Home is really geared to a consumer audience. And oddly enough, prior to COVID, the referrals to people to go home were not as frequent as they should have been, because the medical professionals really enjoyed having their patients be in a place where they could see more than one patient at a time. So because of COVID, though, the move to providing care at home and referring to care at home has really increased. And we are seeing regulatory changes and referral source changes, so that people are recognizing that if someone is capable of staying at home and has the support services needed, that it really is the safest place. And obviously, it's the most comforting place for most people. So it really, educating people about the opportunities to choose home care, as I said, it's been a lifelong passion. So I'm just fulfilling it in a different way. Podcasts are now something that everyone listens to, because we're in a situation where we're looking for, you know, interesting, stimulating things things to do that do not involve leaving the house.
Right. It's welcome now.
Yes.
It's more, people are more responsive to it. Even my own grandmother, she is 80 years old and she refuses to go to a nursing home or what we call hospice care. So they eventually brought the nurse to her for the last 3 months.
Good.
And that has, you know, she gets to be home with her daughter. She gets to visit family every weekend. So overall, it really is helpful in longevity too, being surrounded by who you love and the things you love.
Yes, and that is not mutually exclusive with hospice care, but it is wonderful to hear about your grandmother.
Yeah. So tell us about the professionals, right? Because there's that shift where they have to now go to their homes and have to, the concern about helping, caring for the elderly, especially with the pandemic, and staying healthy themselves. What have you seen change since then?
Jill, I think the biggest change is an awareness of infectious diseases and an awareness of how we can prevent each other from getting ill. So even in the settings, the home care businesses who call themselves non-medical, they are actually training all of their workers on infectious diseases and training their workers on protective equipment to wear and how to be safe. And that can't help but be better for all, because number one, it's increasing the skill set and the knowledge of the people who do provide home care. And number two, you know, this is our current pandemic. We probably should have been thinking more about infectious diseases and going to work while sick before the pandemic. It's definitely going to make a change in that afterwards. So if someone does have a cold or is coughing or has, you know, symptoms, regardless of what the origin of it is, we're going to be a safer society because of that.
Maybe we'll have more sick days instead of the 2 weeks.
I know what'll happen, I hate to tell you this, is we just won't get sick as often because we'll be protecting ourselves and others. So,
you know, I think you're right, because it's going to be very hard to actually decipher the fact that we will go back to the way things were.
I don't think there's any way in the world we will go back to the way things were. I don't think when you have a monumental event like we are still in the middle of, you know, the things we've done differently that we like that we never would have done before, we will keep doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like this podcast or meeting virtually. You know, I'm head of a group in the arts that has been meeting weekly now as a group since March the 20th. So every Friday at 1 o'clock, we have a meeting with a topic that has to do with art somewhere around the world. And I usually have about 100 people on that call. And so those types of, and we're learning more, because when do you ever sit through a whole hour long presentation when you're physically there? You know, you're talking to your neighbor, you're eating candy, you're distracted. But when you're in front of a computer and you're really listening and watching and learning. So I think there are some positives that have come out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're scratching and itching when we're in present, when we're physically there. But being online, you reach more people too. Then we're not stressed with the traveling to and fro. Right? The amount of traveling that has decreased, it's impressive how much more productive we can be because of that alone. And as you say, being able to attain more information, I agree. I agree 100%.
I do miss people, though.
You see them online.
I miss real people, being next to them. But oh, that'll happen soon enough, I guess.
Yeah. I want to talk about monitoring system. You know, I've seen a commercial a while ago with an older woman wears a bracelet and she, you know, she presses the buttons and says, I've fallen and I can't get up. Those are the monitoring system where, you know, first responders are on site, you know, within 5 minutes to help if anybody falls. So tell us about the monitoring system in the home for older adults. How's that beneficial?
Do you know those personal monitoring systems and that technology has come so far since that classic commercial, which for some reason everyone remembers. But the monitoring systems of today are for the most part not physically location based. So in the past, if you fell and you couldn't get up and you pushed your button, you were speaking to a box in the room that was connected to some type of a triaged response system. And now there's all different kinds of monitoring systems. There are what's called non-invasive monitoring systems, which actually use artificial intelligence to determine if there's a problem. For instance, your grandmother normally gets up at night to go to the restroom a couple of times. Well, all of a sudden, one night, she doesn't get up. Therefore, you are alerted there's a problem. So the same with the refrigerator. Say your grandmother lived alone, which I know she doesn't, but she normally fixes her breakfast, and that means she opens the refrigerator door. Well, this morning she didn't open the refrigerator door. So that's an alert sent to, and you get to choose who gets to go check on her. It could be a next door neighbor for the first round, just to make certain she's okay and didn't decide just to sleep late and watch Netflix, you know, in the morning instead of getting up. But those systems are sometimes attached to a nurse call center so that a nurse can triage it. Sometimes they allow direct communication with the doctor. So they are continuing to improve so that, and again, particularly, I hate to keep saying during COVID things have changed for the better, but the telehealth monitoring industry during COVID has just absolutely shown, because they are preventing people from having to leave their home environment to go into settings where they might be exposed. And it's continuing to improve. So any kind of monitoring system that you feel comfortable with, from very non-invasive and the artificial intelligence data that's being gathered all the way through to wearing something you can actually press and talk to someone, all of those systems are available. There's even a system available for people with Alzheimer's or dementia who wander. And there is a shoe. You can buy a shoe that actually has the GPS locator in it. So it's a classic problem with late stage Alzheimer's and dementia, where someone doesn't believe they live in the home they live in, and they want to go home, and therefore they're always trying to escape. So this is a way to keep those people safe.
Yeah, and it saved lives as well. I think it was very interesting you said that with the artificial intelligence, it's actually monitoring my grandmother's habits, right? You said she didn't get up to use the restroom as normal, or didn't open the fridge because she's trying to make breakfast. How does it do that?
Well, it monitors over time your activity. So if there's a variation in those activities, it alerts someone that there's a variation. So when it's set up, there's a time period where you are monitoring what your normal routine is. And then, but used in all of these systems, except the ones that go directly to a nurse call center, there's usually a triage component where you get to choose, you know, who gets the first call and at what point does someone call EMS. There's usually a trigger before that, so you want to have voice contact with the person or visual contact in some cases, because, you know, with phones and tablets now, you can actually have visual contact with people as you know. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. So it really does triage what those next steps are. And of course, you don't want to go to an emergency room or a hospital setting unless you absolutely have to. And so this does prevent that for the most part.
Yeah, that's fascinating. We've come a long way with technology. And I love to hear that, because as my grandparents get older, it's reassuring to know that there's safety in the home.
There's even a system I've shared with you that I hike in the woods. And there is a system that GPS located so that you do wear the device, but you can actually call for help anywhere. And because of the GPS location, it knows where you are. So when I'm out in the woods hiking alone sometimes, I think, it's probably time for me to buy one of those systems, which I may do later today.
You sound amazing for 73, Marilee. I just have to say that. You sound so vibrant.
Well, I do still work full time, and that is one of the things I think that keeps me healthy mentally and physically. And of course, I do try to walk as much as possible.
So yeah, let's get into it. What are your morning routine? What are your habits? How do you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do still at this age?
Well, my morning routine actually starts the night before, because before I go to bed, I check my calendar to make certain what I have on, you know, for tomorrow. And then I know already before I go to bed, you know, what I need to do in the morning. I do start my morning with a cup of coffee and really just a communing with nature. We have such fabulous things that we can see here from my own home. So I do start that. And then I start in my work is basically planned strategically, where I do calendar everything. And I also make plans for things I need to prepare for versus present for, so, or be present for. So my morning routine really starts the night before and follows through the day. And it's just a continuation of things I would like to accomplish, broken down into tasks and timelines. And so I have a lot that I do accomplish, but I have always been that way. I prefer to be busy, mm-hmm. and I am keeping myself busy even in these times of COVID.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, that entrepreneurs like yourself simply say morning routine start the night before. Got to prepare for the day. You got to do some type of reflection the night before to prep yourself for tomorrow, so you know what you're working on, what you're prioritizing, and setting up your agenda at first thing in the morning. And a lot of entrepreneurs start with a glass of water first thing in the morning too, which is quite interesting to rehydrate and replenish the body.
Yes, I am told I should start with a glass of water, but I'll tell you, I love fresh ground coffee. And I love the smell of it. And if for some reason, it just means, you know, get up, wake up, get going. So.
Yeah. How do you commune with nature? You go for walks?
Do you know, I go for walks, but I told you I moved to Asheville because I have grandchildren here. So I have really tried to make a lot of my activities with the grandchildren learning activities, and they don't know it. So for instance, right now there are mushrooms, the most amazing mushrooms you could never even dream of, are all over the forest. And so when I'm out either by myself or with the grandkids, I have a mushroom book I take with me just to, you know, just to try to learn different things. The same with butterflies. I have a butterfly book. So when we see something, we try to identify it. I joined a group that a friend recommended to me that is online called the iNaturalist, and it's an app. You can take a picture of something you see. If you don't know what it is, then other people around the world can weigh in on what species it is, and then it makes an album, really, of what you've seen. So I just try to learn something different at least every day and try to enhance my knowledge in several different areas, but nature is one of them.
What's the app called?
iNaturalist. Little I, capital N, Naturalist. And it's free. And it is used by a friend who volunteers at the National Arboretum, told me about it. And it's really, really fabulous. I just love it. So I've learned lots of things. And sometimes I'll think I've found a new species, and it's not. It's just that it's toward the end of the season, and it's a little different color than it was before. So it's been really wonderful.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to look it up, because sometimes I come across things I don't know what they are. Insects, I don't know what they are. So it'd be intriguing to find out. Thank you for sharing that. Tell us, how can we find your podcast? How can we connect with you?
Lots of ways to connect with me. The podcast is called Help Choose Home, and it is available anywhere you find podcasts. And it also, we have a website for Help Choose Home. I do a blog, MarilyOrsini.com, and then my business, as I said, is Core Cubed. And so we have lots of interesting information on CoreCubed.com as well.
Fascinating. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for asking me. It's been my pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
Eh, all treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically, so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.